I'm much better at not talking over you when I can see your beautiful face.
That's true. The video versions help with, like, communication, I think. And episode 478, we're going to really tap into each other's emotions.
Are we?
No.
No. I was like, didn't we do that a couple episodes ago?
We always do that. Let's face it.
Yeah, I'm into that.
How are you?
I did, like, become somebody who does that for a living, so it would make sense.
Yeah, but,
tap
like,
into emotions. You know?
Is it the thing where, like, it's your expertise, but then in real life it's, like, not? You know how that
no,
is.
No, it's different. It's all the time. It's like,
can't turn it off. Yeah. Hey, well, at least you've monetized your strengths.
Yes, there you go. How are you, Seuss?
Well, I have gum in my mouth, and I feel bad about it because that's probably really bad podcast etiquette, but I just love it.
Oh, my gosh. It is so funny that you randomly talk about gum because I was just chewing some earlier and spit some out into a conveniently empty egg carton because I was thinking, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't go on the podcast with it. But it was the first piece of gum that I've had in months because where you only buy gum if you're driving and, like, at a gas station or something. Like, like that's where I buy gum. And it's, like, impulse counter-buy. And I haven't done that in so long. And then I got hankering for it the other day. And
it's
I took a walk down to the corner to pick up some gum.
Wow.
Because I wanted some. So it's really – and I did that. I'm, like, not even kidding. Like, just, like, 2 days ago.
Why are we the same?
That is so weird. Okay. And then all of a sudden you're chewing gum? Goodness
First of
gracious.
All, I want to tell a story about behind the scenes on reality TV with gum. And second of all, I need to tell you a spooky story, so don't let me forget.
Ooh, okay. Remember spooky.
Okay, so the gum thing. So when you're on these shows, most of the time, like, you have a pretty good sense of, like, whether what you're doing is going to have any chance of being on television.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Like,
most
when
of
someone...
the stuff I did not make it on television. I was like, oh my gosh, my adorable game that I just made for everybody where people are having a wonderful time. Definitely cutting room floor.
Cutting room floor, right. Like, if people are fighting, you you become aware of yourself and you think, like, what am I wearing? This is going to be on tape.
Well, let me go fix my makeup before I tell this girl off.
Yes. And on my first, on Road Rules, they have those lipstick cams in the vehicle at the front, you know.
Lipstick cams, that's what they call them?
Yeah, they're, like, real tiny, like, kind of like the size of a lipstick, I guess.
Yeah.
But they mount them on either side of the front, you know, and they're rolling all the time, even if you're not doing anything interesting. But you know they're never going to use it. Well, one time I was in the car with in the RV with Piggy, and we were at a gas station. There was no camera crew with us, but they had those lipstick cams going. And I was chewing gum. And I was like, you know, Piggy, sometimes I really just love chewing like a cow. And she was like a cow, because she's British. And then she backed
like
into
a
car.
What?
At that exact moment.
No!
So they have to include that dialogue.
No. Yeah, they do.
Which is now forevermore available for your entertainment.
That is great. I knew what was going to happen as soon as you said she backed into a car. I was like, oh, and now that's part of the scene.
And now everyone knows I like chewing like a cow sometimes.
Yeah. God, that's the worst when that shit happens.
I wanted to tell you this spooky story because remember last episode – when we heard that knocking, and you were like, what is that? And I'm like, well, it's either someone knocking or a critter in my house, in the walls.
It's in my own house.
I forgot that the other day, Adam came in the kitchen, and he's like, I just saw...
already scared! Ah, what is it? Oh, my God. Wait. You are rushing through this story too fast! Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
Adam comes out. Are you about to tell me a spooky story where there are you? Okay, I don't even want to spoil it for myself. I'm getting ahead of myself. Sarah, focus.
He comes in and he's like, I just had the weirdest experience.
Yes.
I saw an old woman.
Nope. No.
Knitting.
Your house is fucking hot. No.
Knitting.
Well, she's crafty. I like her already. Stop. Oh my God, Susie, keep going, but I'm freaking out.
He swears up and down that he saw an old woman knitting in a chair in our living room.
Are you fucking with me?
No.
To just see what I would do?
No.
Because here's the thing I know about Adam. He's a straight up and down guy. He's not doing anything for theatrics.
No. He's all just sort of, he is what he is. Like,
yes.
There's nothing weird.
This is it. This is, and I, like, if Adam tells me that, I'm like, yep, I trust him. That's, yep, that's.
That. Right. Because, mm-hmm. like, some people yep. think that there's that something spooky
oh,
all the time.
My God. And that's very specific.
Right. Why She's is she knitting? I needed more information. I was like, what yeah. was she wearing? What did she look like?
And yeah. She's like, knitting. A blanket out of skin. Knitting needles covered in blood.
Well, what do you think, though? Do you think it really was
oh my God.
A ghost?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, my God. I got myself all worked up now. Like, I love when we talk about spooky things that don't happen to me because, like, I can wrap myself up. So much. Damn this imagination.
Because he was like, he wanted to talk himself out of it. He was like,
of course.
Was it a reflection? Like, he thought maybe, because we have a lot of windows, maybe it reflected into that spot.
Oh, my God. I wish you could take my heart rate right now.
Why? Because you think we have a ghost?
No, because why is my heart rate high? Or why do I think?
Yeah. Why are you worked up?
Because this is exciting and gets me worked up. Because you just told me that you have a ghost. And that is like, here's the thing. What did you tell Lincoln?
Nothing.
Okay, this
Should
is
I?
Great. No, because he's going to tell you. He's going to see her too.
Now that will freak me out.
That's going to be your confirmation. Because, Susan lives in a haunted house. It's so fun. Woo, woo, woo.
If he did tell me something like that, then I would be serious about it.
I know. And I feel like that, so like, don't tell him. What if you came in and he's like listening to this episode of the podcast? You're like, no! Run and then just dive and turn
down.
Well,
do you think that's
volume.
Who was knocking on my wall? Whenever.
Oh.
Right.
Because that did sound like a person knock.
It did.
I did not believe you when you said it was an animal. I was like, okay.
Adam
but
was like, maybe
was
it was a woodpecker, but our house is not made of wood. It's,
that's
it's
not
stucco.
It's not a woodpecker. And also, it's snowing. What woodpecker is like out like.
A woodpecker.
It's not
that
where,
woodpecker
it's not
should be
thing.
In his nest.
Yeah. Go get inside, woodpecker. It is freezing. Oh. Stop.
Oh, all right, well, I'll keep my eye
wait,
out.
Wait,
wait.
Oh. I just got a text message from Adam.
Oh, he can hear me.
I'm dying. I'm dying. What is it? I'm so excited. Ooh, a spooky text message.
What
it is. Oh, how did he even find this? It is an old woman knitting.
Oh, it's a gift.
A creepy old woman.
Oh my God. If you're watching the video version on patreon.com/braincandy, you can see the woman knitting on Sarah's phone.
You can also see the look of shock, horror, and excitement on my face when Susie tells me this information. Oh my God, he's cracking me up right now. I totally think you do have a ghost.
I want to know what
vibe does he get from her? We're going to have to
You
have
should
Adam
text
on.
Him, ask him.
Oh, yeah, I will. Hey, Adam, what vibe?
He
okay.
didn't say. Like,
you
he didn't
totally
seem scared.
Have a ghost. Okay.
He definitely
she
didn't
says,
seem
oh, my
worried.
God. He said, I'm telling you, into thin air. Okay. Oh!
Wow. Yeah, because he couldn't
okay.
give a description.
What kind of vibes did you get
Sarah
from
and Adam
her?
Are going to start their own podcast just about this ghost.
Ghost Hunters?
Yeah, but with you two just talking about one. Just
yeah,
that one.
Just talking about one.
How
We're
going to
have guests like my mom.
Yeah, right. That's it.
Excited guests like my mom. Also, my mom.
Well, whenever...
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay. Every single time I hear a noise in the background, I will think that it is her. We have to find a name for her. She's knitting. Okay. You know, in my house growing up in Thousand Oaks, my mom said we had a woman who lived on the stairs.
Really?
She just hung out on the stairs. I never saw her.
Do you know anything else about her?
No.
Well, but she was like, she came in peace kind of thing?
Yeah. She just kind of hung out there. It was fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was fine. What were you going to say just then?
No, not just that it was fine.
Okay. Well, that's what I mean, anyone that's just knitting can't be up to no good.
Right. Unless.
So it's fine. Unless what?
Needles covered in blood. That's what I'm telling you. So she uses them to murder people.
Damn. I'll keep you posted. Also.
It's fine. It feels like a very harmless ghost. Knitting is like.
So far.
She wants to keep you warm. She has like maternal vibes. Let's see what your husband said, if anything, the ghost.
We're like becoming one of those podcasts that like has to do a little housekeeping before. You know how there's some podcasts, they're like, do housekeeping and they'll like update people about like this or that or like their appearances or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, I do have to give a shout out to Timothy because he bought us a bottle on our website. You know how you can like donate and buy us a bottle of wine or whatever?
Yeah.
He knows what we like.
Timothy.
Thank you, Timothy, for that.
You know what? And your girl could use a bottle.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Like, he knew what
and
we
so
needed.
So could Sue. She's got ghosts. Shit, man. Shout out to Timothy.
Then I had one of those moments where I was like, I got to ask Sarah this on the show. Do you know those guys that wear shorts no matter how cold it is?
Yes, I do. I do.
Why did you make a face?
Because you and I know one specific one.
Who am I forgetting? Can we say?
He wasn't on the show, but he works in and around the Bina Murray MTV universe.
So he's in production?
Always wears short, like always.
Oh,
made
God.
A
Text
huge
me.
Thing about it.
He made a thing about it?
People wouldn't even know. Scooter.
I didn't know he always wears shorts.
Oh my God. He wore shorts. Like he took a pair of like suit pants and cut them off and wore them to, I want to say Chet's wedding or somebody's wedding in intentionally cut
off. I went to Tori's wedding with him. Why did I not take note of that?
Guaranteed had shorts on.
Okay.
And
what does he say?
New York City, so it's freezing. And I don't
know. What's the reason?
I have no clue. I think, I don't know. I don't remember. But he just is a shorts guy? I don't know.
That's the thing. Like, I saw one of these guys. I'm in Pittsburgh. It's quite cold.
Yeah.
I saw one at the grocery store, and I was like, what are you doing? Like, I want to know. And he was like,
great calves.
50. What if that's it? He thinks that's his best feature.
He's like,
and he doesn't want to cover them up.
Have you seen these bad boys? Would you cover them up?
Stop.
It's 30 below, and you're still wearing a low-cut top. Get off my case,
So you
lady.
Think that's it? That he
no,
thinks
I'm totally
they
kidding.
Look really good on him. And he wants to show off. Because these guys always pretend like, oh, the cold doesn't bother
me. No, I think it's a
macho.
Yes.
Like I'm tough.
Yeah.
Oh,
or it's like a thing. It's like a gimmick. Like our friends.
An identity thing.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. I mean, I'm not into anybody who wears anything that's not seasonally appropriate just
right.
to make a point.
Me too, Sarah. And it occurred to me that I've never known a woman that did that, that just wore shorts no matter how
that
cold it
got. That would
be
silly.
Right. And I thought, you're right, it must
but
be a
like,
macho thing.
But like old-timey, you could have like a woman who only wore skirts.
Yeah, but I bet you they'd wear long ones. Yeah,
they would. That's so
nice wool skirt. Never hurt nobody.
Right.
That's all. I just wanted to say I hate those guys.
And I'm trying to think of like the other thing I have, like, I'm always like, oh, for goodness sakes. When it's like you're wearing everything else on you to keep you warm, but still your shorts.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the flip-flops. Like, I saw, it was a long time ago. It was a picture of, I want to say it was like Charlize Theron or it was Cameron Diaz. It was one of the two in like a In Touch or People magazine. And it was like fashion faux pas. And she was wearing flip-flops and then a beanie and a scarf. Like,
no.
I'm freezing, but
no,
I have flip-flops
that.
On. Right, I knew you'd hate that. But then I remember as watching this, I was like, ooh, I've definitely done that. So
flip-flops with a scarf?
Yeah, but I wouldn't go so far as to be like scarf and a beanie. She was definitely like freezing. Like,
far.
Put some shoes on. That's too far.
Well, where
so,
do
yeah,
you
that
wear
one does
flip-flops,
bug me too.
Though? Just the beach, right?
And the only thing that I would think, the only thing I came up with, or I remember at the time looking at this, is I would wear a beanie and flip-flops to water polo practice. But that, like, makes sense, because you're going to need a bathing
sense.
Suit.
Yeah, that'll allow that.
So, like, maybe... And at the beach, you're right. That's, like, an adorable outfit. So, you know what? In people... Or In Touch, or people might... They just get off their case.
Yeah, let's be mad at them instead.
Yeah. Full circle okay. here. I don't even know.
First of all, let me see what my first story is for you. Oh, this was fun. There was an article in the New York Times... asking people who prefer to be hermits advice on how the rest of us can cope with
being these ones.
Yeah, it was really, really good because these folks, well, the two that they interviewed are a couple, and he used to be a priest, and she lived in a monastery for 30 years. So these people are like very spiritual people who...
that's like the... that's.
What?
I don't do that stuff.
Which stuff?
Those are people who are very disciplined and, you know.
You're like, we can't do what they do.
Yeah, I'm like, do they have wine?
They probably do.
Okay, then I'm down with them. I'll take their advice.
Yeah, because they say, like, they like to include the word contemporary. Like, what do they call it? Contemporary, isolation or something, so that people don't think of it as just like wearing weird outfits.
Oh,
they want to know
exactly what I thought.
Yeah, like
that,
they have
oh my
a really
god,
cute...
I fell right into the whatever it is,
the stereotype. Yeah, and they said that they're like, when people think of hermits, they tend to think of, like, I don't know, the Unabomber or, you know, somebody who's like an eccentric, which some of them are.
Yeah. Yes.
But like. They were saying what the practice that they do is just about distance from society, but not out of like we hate people, like not misanthropy, but more like in an effort to get closer to God and or the spirit or
to
whatever
like,
you
quiet things.
Yeah,
I'm not into that peace.
Yeah, it's not moving away from people as much as it is moving toward their God or spirit. I like that.
Yeah,
and so. They say that that brings them closer to transcendence, and it's like a way to connect with the spiritual world.
And you know, I kind of think of it as like now stick with me. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody can take mushrooms and you can have a good trip or you can have a bad trip depending on how your mind is.
Mm-hmm.
That being alone with your thoughts and being, if you're in a good place and you're spiritually grounded and then that can be help you move towards like transcendence and enlightenment and even closer to that. And if you're in a bad place, that being alone with that same thing, I can't whistle very well, but insert whistle here. Thank you. That would send you to an even darker place.
Growing up, my dad's was one of those people who always had to have a TV on. So like if he entered a room, he turned the TV on. If he went to a new room, he put another TV on. And my mom would always say he does that so that he doesn't have to hear his own thoughts. You know, he was avoiding something.
Yeah.
Maybe he wasn't. I think he was, but I don't want to say for sure because what do I know? But I think for a lot of people that need noise all the time, it might be because they don't want to have to confront what might be going on otherwise in their head.
Yeah.
And so
but that almost ties into what we were talking about last episode of the idea of how terrible it is way worse than how terrible it actually is.
Yes. In fact, when you talked about that, I thought of that article and thought about how they were encouraging people to go ahead and have a listen and hear what's rattling around in there. And it might not be as bad as you think. And you might not even realize you're avoiding thinking about something.
Yes.
You know? But they were just saying that...
Good. I love it when it, like, connects.
Yeah.
Yes, it's so cool.
Because they were saying that it helps, you know, root you, as you were saying. Mm-hmm. Like, it puts you somewhere. You have a foundation then. And that you... The routine and the, like, plainness, the simplicity. Because they eschew, like, consumerism as well. It's not just society. Right. It's, like, buying crap you don't need. And that if you prioritize prayer and meditation, that you won't be silencing all that noise. You'll be working through it.
Yeah.
I thought it was good advice.
I do like that.
It was real nice.
Anything else? Any other, like, real valuable little nuggets in there that...
They were just saying that, you know, like... The way that we're all, I think people have been doing this all year, where we're kind of like in denial that this is just, we kept thinking, well, it'll be over soon, but it's not. And so then we never process the grief.
Yeah, the anticipatory grief. Yes.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Like you got to just bite the bullet kind of thing.
Acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
that's
it was good.
Okay.
Yeah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
So, that was good. Would you like to hear about comfort food around the world?
Oh, of course. How appropriate.
I think this is so fun. I sent you some pictures that you can pull up while I talk as well.
You know, this is going to be interesting to see because comfort food is always like salty, you know, and I want to see like
you
in
think?
My mind. I think that. I
what
think
do you think
so.
Of when you think of comfort food?
Salty or it's like savory.
Mm-hmm. So like, you don't think of donuts and stuff as comfort food?
Not for me. I think of more homemade things.
Like what?
Like, I mean, for me, comfort food is like chicken pot pie.
Oh, right.
That would
like
be comfort
stick
food.
Stick to your ribs. Is that what they call it? Like stick to your ribs food?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then, even like cornbread and mashed potatoes and even like Thanksgiving food all kind of falls into comfort food.
Yeah, that's true. I think that because we
what
talked
is it
about
for
how,
you?
Like macaroni and cheese with
mushroom soup. I was going to say that. I was going to say macaroni and cheese too.
Yeah.
Oh, and tuna noodle casserole.
Yes.
Nobody else likes that, but I do because mom made that.
You're so right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I also think, though, that snacks and donuts and things can be comforting as well because it's naughty and it's just like, it fills the hole, man.
Yeah.
But the New York Times interviewed like six chefs and like foodies to find out what they love. And I picked a few that I thought were cool. Do you remember Kim Joy from Baking Show?
Do I remember Kim Joy?
I mean, she's adorable.
Of course.
Yeah.
We're actually watching that season, me and Ren, right now.
Okay, well, she chose something called a pandan cake. It's the one in the list that I sent you that's green.
Yes. Okay. Mm.
To me, it looks like angel food cake that's been dyed green.
Yeah. It looks like, is it probably matcha?
Well, that's what the thing is. They never said what was in it to make it green.
It's got to be
But it
like
must
a
be
matcha.
Yeah.
Because
she said when she goes to London, she goes to Chinatown and must have this cake because it's just the best thing ever. It's probably not. It's probably just reminiscent for her of something that is comforting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Childhood or something. But you're right. But if it's an Asian,
kind of bread,
it's probably matcha.
Though, like the banh mi bun bread. That
right.
If it tastes anything like that, oh my God, that's so good. It's like pillows. Oh, yum.
And like, I guess I never thought of the concept of like comfort food in other countries. What would theirs be? Because it really is a cultural thing. Because tuna noodle casserole wouldn't comfort people in like
For sure. It's
Asia.
Kind of like, I feel like it's what did your mom make?
Mm-hmm.
Because my mind also went to milk toast. Nobody likes milk toast, but that's what my grandma made me
when
I was sick. What
is milk toast? I always thought it was like a pretend thing.
It totally is a real thing, but it sounds when I describe it about as exciting as the name sounds. It's
when you call someone that, it's an insult.
Right, it's like boring and milk toast.
Like spineless.
Oh, spineless. Okay, that makes sense because milk. Okay, so I'll describe this to you. So you toast a piece of bread. And then this is at least how my grandma made it. And then you pour, and then you cover it with like butter and sugar and cinnamon, like cinnamon sugar. And that cinnamon sugar, duh. So you call that. And I'm like, you know, that sugar cinnamon combo. sorry, I said that. And then you pour, I think it's hot milk over it. And that's it.
What is the problem with this? This sounds great.
It is. It's delicious. But it's like, if you use like white bread, because that's like what you use, like Wonder Bread is what my grandma used and whatever. It was like, it's so soggy and like you can't even pick it out of the bowl. It's like, it's got to be because if you had a sore throat, you couldn't eat toast. Maybe. I'm just coming up with this idea right this second. But I'm trying to think of what would be exciting.
Why would anyone eat
Why would anybody? It's like. Because I'm thinking, okay, if you have to maybe like take a pill or something like that that gives you an upset stomach, or then you need to put like food in your stomach first. You know how like that's a thing?
Yeah.
And you have to eat some toast. And what if you had like a sore throat and you like couldn't eat the toast because you had a sore throat?
This is an elaborate hypothetical.
I'm trying to think of why milk toast would ever become a thing that people would be like,
it
when you're sick,
like...
have this. It has zero nutritional value.
Okay, so it's typically like when you're sick.
Yeah, only when I was sick.
But is that just you or everyone?
I have no idea. I have not interviewed people. Like the only person who I would ever have a conversation about milk, get to the point in our relationship where we were talking about things such as my grandma's milk toast, is with you, Zeus.
It's my grandma's. Well, it sounds like mushed up, uncooked French toast, kind of.
Yeah, with
Except
no egg to bind
with
it.
With no eggs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I might have to try it just as an experiment.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet you'd like it. What, I bet if you gave it to Lincoln, he'd be like, this is my favorite meal.
Can you imagine? okay.
But I want to know some of the other ones in other countries.
Yeah. Okay, so let me hide hers. Okay, so the next one that I really loved was called a molette. You probably have had it.
This is making me hungry.
It's a picture I sent you of like... It looks like a baguette.
Yeah.
And in Mexico, I think.
Oh, yeah.
They would eat it with pico de gallo and sometimes maybe cheese, but they say the best is just plain. Which, how is that possible? How is the plain?
Just good bread.
It must be.
Yeah. Go to a little panetteria.
Yeah. And that made me hungry and I wanted to have it, but I've never even heard of a molette.
Freshed.
Or a mullet. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Okay. And then the third one.
I feel like I've heard of this and I don't know how to pronounce it. Mullet.
Oh.
I don't know.
Mole.
My mom would know.
I know. We're so dumb.
Yeah.
Ethnocentrism. My mom, speaking of like kind of racist behavior, my mom has an auto mechanic that she's gone to for years and she calls him Teo. And then I found out that he was Asian, and I'm like, Mom, I think how do you spell Tao? And she said T-A-O. And I was like, Mom, that's Tao. Like, you're saying it wrong. She's like, no, I'm not. That's his name, Tao. It's like Suzanne Sugarbaker on Designing Women. Nope. And I was like, all
you
right.
You love a Designing Women.
I was like, okay. I mean, what do I know? She's been going to him for years. And then the other day she admitted that he told her it was Tao.
Oh, my gosh. She just couldn't admit it to you.
She's like, T-A-O. T-A-O. That sounds like Tao to me. Anyway.
No,
I'm like,
Tao.
But she's going to keep calling him Tao, Sarah.
Oh,
it's like people that say.
I was nervous when you said that to say Tao because I was like, oh, no, am I saying it wrong?
And well, maybe I am, saying, but she
like, no,
right.
You are. You're right. Yeah. Of course that's right. But
yeah,
I,
he confirmed it.
Yes.
But, like, she thinks it's okay. It's
no,
like when people say Kamala.
No,
it's not
I don't
okay.
Like that. I think it's
racist.
Right. And, oh, my God, I've seen some really funny memes. It's like, if we can all figure out how to pronounce Balenciaga, we can figure out how to pronounce, you know, anything else.
I know. It's brutal. But you know what? That's all I have to say about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on. They did mention plantains, and I thought of you because you love plantains.
Oh, I love plantains. They're
I don't
so
get
good.
It.
What do you mean?
I think it's just that I only had them one time, and I think I just didn't like the way
no,
they were prepared.
No, you didn't have good plantains.
I didn't know that there are all kinds of ways that you can prepare them.
It's like saying, like, I had one hamburger, and it was, like, an airport hamburger or, like, whatever.
Or even thinking, like, I had mashed potatoes and then think you've had every kind of potato.
Right.
I mean, there's lots of ways
right.
to make them.
Yeah, tons. And I think there are, like, a billion, trillion, I don't know, that's not a number, kind of plantains.
Oh, wait. I forgot to say, when I was talking about Milk Toast making you sick, one thing that might help you avoid that is taking Ritual every day.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm not making any claims here. I'm just saying it couldn't hurt. vitamin a
will
day.
Help.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
So anyway, the third...
I want to know this other delicious thing that I'm like waiting for
so
you to talk about.
So then this one, is the... Whoops, sorry.
Oh.
This one is the Katsu Sando.
Oh,
and
yes.
Mommy likey.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a sandwich that is a fusion of apparently British culture and Asian culture. It's a panko crusted meat. It can be chicken, pork, or wagyu beef. And then they serve it with a sauce that is ketchup, honey, and Worcestershire.
Yum.
Yum.
I was
right?
thinking that would be, that looked a little mustardy.
Ooh, maybe they're withholding. Maybe it's just
the
picture
it's just
I chose.
Yellow. Yeah. Oh, that looks so good. Yes, I'm into all of that.
When you love a sandwich, it does not have mayo.
I was hoping that you wouldn't say it had mayo. And I was like, and that's why I was like, oh, no mustard. I'm waiting for another word. Okay, we're good. We're good. We're safe. That looks so delicious.
And I asked Adam because they said it's a British staple. And he said he hadn't heard of it, but maybe he's just out of the loop and he missed out all that time.
Interesting.
That sounds real yummy to me.
Yeah,
Katsu
that looks
Sando.
Really good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I just think it's fun to know what comforts other people, what foods make them feel all warm and cozy.
Yeah. And I wonder if it is, if we asked, like, what foods are comfort foods to you? And then asked, like, what foods do you remember your mom cooking growing up? You might have some similar answers. And also, what foods did you eat when you were sick? Even though, like, maybe it's I tie nurturing to that. Am I the only one?
No, because
what did your mom make you when you were sick?
When the last time I got a migraine, I had a sleeve of Ritz crackers because that's what I had when I was sick when I was little, and ginger ale.
Yeah,
I didn't.
Okay,
which I would have enjoyed if I had any in the house, but. That's exactly why. It wasn't like I thought this would help physically.
Right. Oh.
But emotionally.
But you just feel better. I love that.
But
we
you know
all
what?
Need that kind of stuff.
Maybe the broader comfort food, though, isn't just what your mom made. It's that thing we talked about early in lockdown, which is foods your parents would buy that were like yummy, like ho-hos or
my
like fruit roll-up or something.
Shit. I don't know
right.
about that life.
Yeah,
I
but-
don't know about that life. It's awful. You know what? This is a lesson. This for all parents out there. Why you can't do that. Mom,
yeah.
I hope you're listening.
Because
this is what happened.
Sorry,
she was like,
Sally.
No, you can't have any of that. It was like restricted. And because of that, and I understand why. Like my brother, he really couldn't eat any sugar. He would go off the rails. Well, all
yeah.
of us. Because that's what sugar does to kids anyway. So because I couldn't have it, I sought it out everywhere. And then when we did have it in the house, I would sneak it and I would binge it. Like I would go, I remember
yeah.
eating these like lemon, like little square things from Trader Joe's. I can't even look at the bag today because I would vomit. Because I ate the whole thing. I ate the whole thing in the closet when I, like in the pantry. In the like
right.
teeny tiny pantry we had, like shut myself in there and just like hope and would be like sneaking
honestly,
on like a crazy person.
The psychology of that can be applied to lots of things. I was talking to Adam today about the way, because in my family it was like forbidden to be sexual or have any kind of sexual identity. And I'm talking like anything.
Right. Right.
And so then you
you're
develop
basically Barbie and Ken dolls.
Yeah. And your body's shameful and it's like
yeah.
sin. And so then you develop really unhealthy relationships with like that.
Yes.
So really anything you make taboo, there's going to be a problem.
Yes. You can't do it. You can't. It absolutely. Like anytime you try to restrict or what's the word? Not, like
forbid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to pop up. I don't know.
Well, especially if the thing you're forbidding
sounds
is
taboo.
Everywhere and
you're
nobody else
a
thinks
taboo.
It's wrong.
Right.
If everybody else gets to do it and you're forbidden, you're going to be like, well, I really want that.
Yeah. I just want to like do a really good job when my kids are young, terrifying them about like, you know, junk food and things that are bad for them so that like when they see it, they'll be like, oh no, I don't want to eat that. Like that's, you know, I don't know. I'm going to work, try to do that.
So
because
you'll
I have a friend
them.
Who did that with her kids about McDonald's and they don't eat fast food. And they're like, oh no, we can't eat that. That is bad for us.
Wow. What?
Like she didn't terrify them. She just like, educated them.
Right. It's not fear mongering if it's accurate.
Right, you know, I will.
Okay.
My mom did that with like blue dyes. She was like, "You want to know what that does to the inside of you? Let's find out."
Yeah.
But then
maybe
I was like, "I want that. I don't care. I don't know. I don't care.
Give me that blue dye."
Yeah, we don't know about like that. All I knew is that I wanted to have a blue tongue after eating candy.
Right, like Nerds or something.
Yeah, that was
yeah.
like cool. How much sugar is in it? Can it turn my tongue a different color?
Okay. Did you read about the girl that was born after having been a frozen embryo for 27 years? Did you read
no.
about that?
No. But like to who's
to
the parent? To
the
whose egg is it?
The biological parents donated it. To,
okay.
I guess they didn't need it anymore. You know, sometimes.
Okay,
like
so like they did egg retrieval for a woman who was infertile or going through in vitro fertilization. She had extra eggs. She was like, "Here, I'm going to donate them." And or
they didn't say why she donated them, but that is
okay.
the likeliest.
Okay,
reason.
I didn't even know that. That makes total sense, and that's kind of cool. They did that.
Yeah, and they were saying in this article that most people don't donate their embryos if they don't need them just because they feel weird knowing that, like, their biological
yeah.
kids would be out there being raised
yeah.
by someone else. But sometimes people do. And in those cases, they're available to be implanted into a couple that
wow.
needs one. And so the mom that had them had it implanted in her... she was only 2 years old when this embryo
That's the part that's crazy to me is like, yeah. In my mind, I'm like, the egg is the same. They're like,
how weird is that?
They could be, it's like a vintage egg. Like, what if that baby only likes like retro music and like.
They said that they feel like this is their second child. They're both from the same donor. And the older one, who's like 3 or 4, she had the record before of being the longest frozen embryo before becoming a person. But anyway, that one, she's like 3 or 4 now. They always say she's a very old soul. And like sometimes she'll do something and I'll be like, ooh, that's the 90s child in you.
That's
how cool,
cool
is that?
I like that. I think that's cool. I don't know why it, I know that's not how that works, but it, to me, it kind of feels like, okay, like if you had, this is very loose analogy, but like the body of a car and like the frame of an old vintage car, and then it like didn't have working parts in it, and then you held on to it and like, you know, kept it looking nice and clean, and then you put new parts in it and it like was like revved up and on the road.
Right.
Old body, new parts.
Yeah.
In like a weird like structure and frame. I don't know why that's like what, and it feels like it's like a vintagey and like.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting. But Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Wouldn't it freak you out if you knew that you had been something 27 years before you were born?
Oh, man.
Let's see. What year would that be? I don't know. A long time before. The 1950s.
I don't really reminisce about the time I was just hanging out in my mom's uterus as an egg.
You don't?
Before that. No, I do not reminisce about that time.
Wait. Oh, it's just an egg. No,
yeah.
I don't reminisce about that. But I do think about it being in utero, what that was like.
You do?
Yes.
I've never. You know what? Probably because you've had a baby.
Maybe.
I've never, ever thought about that.
Really?
What was it like to be
that
inside
you were in
of
your mom's belly?
Yeah, but like so is everybody.
That doesn't fascinate you that that's how it works?
I think. It will when I have a closer connection.
Yeah,
to it.
I think so too, because it's fucking weird.
Yeah, I think I will be like that. I don't know. But right now it just feels like.
Because that's what I always called it at the time. People refer to it as a miracle. I thought of it as like an alien invasion.
Do you feel more of that kind of connection? And I don't necessarily mean closeness as far as like relationship. But sort of like I am of you kind of thing.
Yeah.
To your
mom.
Mm-hmm. After you had Lincoln?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was like,
that,
oh my
because,
God.
Wow, this is tripping me out because I've never really even, like, I don't think you have that until you have a kid.
Hmm.
Because I don't feel like the thought, I feel very independent and separate from my mom. Like, I know that she probably feels like I am a part of her. But I think
yeah.
that's kind of part of the human evolutionary
yeah,
process
yeah.
where we have to feel like we're separate.
Autonomous,
so
yeah.
that we, autonomous, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can go off and then procreate and do our own thing and become the one who then is that. Like,
yeah.
Because I don't have that.
Yeah, I think you will then, maybe.
Wow, this is going to be, I want to ask other people.
I mean, maybe some people never feel that or are interested in it. To me, it's just like, holy crap, this whole system is bonkers.
Oh my God. I do remember there being a time when, oh my God, I had a momentary freak out in like the very short time I was pregnant where I was at an auction where, but it wasn't me and that I was thinking about it, but in that moment I was at this like charity auction and they were bidding on a dog that just had like they were like, puppies or they were like they had the mom and then like they had the babies and they were like auctioning off like the puppies or whatever and they're like oh yeah there's the mom and I had this like momentary like oh my God that
yeah,
the
mom wrong.
And then she has a baby and then like and like then it's just gone and then that's weird and like why do we hold on to these things and I like I don't know it took me down like a weird spiral of like this whole thing is weird and,
for real because
yeah
even-
and I had never really thought about that until I had seen something else that created like it's like what
yeah
this is weird.
Well, and I feel like even what we were talking about earlier about the hermetic life and like how we silence a lot of those unwanted thoughts or like, because we're busy, we got things to do.
Yes.
But like sometimes if you really let yourself go there.
Yeah.
It's like when you're like people say that they're on pot or something and then they get like all existential. I think that is so fun sometimes.
Yeah, it is.
It's like the world opens
to
up.
Like, uh-huh. Yep. But,
yeah, I feel like. If I knew that I had been an embryo in the 1950s, that would be fascinating to me.
Yeah. It really
just that
would.
I was on the planet.
I would really be nostalgic for that time period.
Me too.
I know it. If I, like, I could just imagine it. I'd be like, oh my God, I would only want to, like, dress like that.
Like,
and,
doo-wop.
Like, yeah. In my mind, it's the
poodle
70s that I come from in this scenario. In this,
okay.
Because I guess that maybe the time frame would be about.
Yours right. would probably, let's see. Yours would be like the 60s, I guess. But whatever,
wow,
you know.
Wait, yeah. Wow.
So cool.
That is
I'm
so
happy
crazy.
For them, though. They seem really happy.
Yeah. And I love that there's siblings.
Two sisters. Yeah. Full
two
siblings.
From the same donor.
Donor. Yeah. Another thing that will make you happy is a fun new game that we've been playing called Solitaire Grand Harvest. We were just cracking up about how, like, this is the perfect game for any outdoorsy, indoorsy people.
Yeah, which is what you have to be now. Everybody's outdoorsy, indoorsy.
I've always loved playing solitaire, which is weird because I'm very competitive, and I guess I'm competitive with myself.
You're against yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just find it so satisfying, like, you know, at the end when all the cards, like...
Yep, my favorite part.
It's so fun. But Solitaire Grand Harvest is fun because it has, like, a fun farm aesthetic. So it's, like, the best of both worlds, which really is what Brain Candy's all about.
And you know I love some gardening.
Right. And you can have some friendly competition while you're stuck at home. You can connect your social accounts so you can see how your friends are progressing in the game. We all need things to do and to have fun and challenge ourselves in whatever ways make us happy. Spin the bonus wheel to grab even more surprises like free coins, etc. We love those things, bonus cards. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's just really fun. And you can see how many crops you grow, whether you're stuck inside or just dreaming of the great outdoors, as Sarah always is. Now you can have fun farm-style getaway right at your fingertips. Download Solitaire Grand Harvest for free today in the Apple App Store, Google Play, and Amazon. Play your cards, you advance, you get bonuses. Just real cute.
Love it. I just love a colorful little app, you know?
Love a good game.
Love a good game.
Okay, so that's happy news about the woman. Oh my God. Have you ever like read an article and you're just reading it for yourself and then you're like, well, now I got to talk about this on the show.
Yep.
Well,
or I have just... interactions with people when I'm like walking down the street and I'm like, okay, now I got to talk about this on the show.
Well, I was reading this one about tips on how to layer for the cold because I'm in Pittsburgh. It's friggin' freezing and I am always cold.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I have to figure out a plan here.
I don't know how to do that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you the tips, but then I love the part of it was just like fucking freaky and it's hilarious. Okay.
Okay.
So if you happen to be going out in the cold, because a lot of people want to be social this time of year, but you can't be indoors.
Right.
because it's not safe. So that's what the essence of the article was.
How,
like,
to layer outdoors so you can still be social while not freezing your freaking ass off.
Exactly.
Got it.
So, okay, so some of the tips I'll give you, which is that you, of course, want to layer, but they encouraged loose layers because what the key is to trap air in there.
I would have never guessed that.
Me
and
neither.
I do the back. I do the opposite. And I always pick tight layers. And guess what happens? I get sweaty and then I
get cold again. That's what they said. The sweat is it's a huge problem. So you want loose fitting clothes, but
this is really an argument for my snowboard getup being like baggy and why ski clothes are ridiculous.
Yeah, for sure. They said, do not, like, you don't want to be the Michelin man because it will restrict your movement. And also, it'll make you sweat, and then sweat makes you cold, and then you'll die.
And then you'll die.
Okay. So that's the end of that story. Okay, so no cotton, because cotton is not moisture-wicking, so it's just the same as sweat. And then they said that you should get one of those hoods with fur around it, because that is a great wind blocker.
Yeah.
And
looks adorable.
Looks adorable. And you want to layer hats, but you want the bottom one to be a baseball cap.
What?
Because that will allow, so if you wear sunglasses, it'll trap the heat in there, which is good. And it blocks
the sun.
Wind. Yeah. And then you put a normal beanie or whatever on top of that. And then
a beanie on top of a baseball cap.
A baseball cap.
Okay.
Yeah, because you want a brim, but then you also want wool or whatever.
What if you had a beanie with a brim?
Yeah, that would be good, too.
That would be good. Okay, cool.
She said you only want two pairs of socks because if your feet, if you restrict them too much, then you restrict blood flow, and that's bad.
Yeah, I don't like that.
So you want, and that feels awful. Like, moisture wicking on the first layer, then wool.
You know what
socks.
This is teaching me? That the reason why I hate the cold is that I have been doing all of this wrong.
Me too.
And
Sarah.
It really does make a difference. Like, anybody could tell you, like, you have to dress for the environment. Dress for, and it matters. Like, camping, I'm super comfortable camping because I always have the perfect camping getup. I am always uncomfortable in the cold and in the winter because clearly I know none of this.
Yeah, well, and it is counterintuitive. You think, like, if I just put more crap on.
Right, more tight sweaters that are skin tight against me, because that's, I don't know what.
I can't believe you've made it this long, Sarah. Well, I mean, it's a miracle you're still alive.
Or that I have all my fingers and toes, right? Luckily, I live in California where this has been not so much of a problem. But on challenges, freezing.
Two things that I thought were notable, though, for this show was, number one, that she was like, and when it gets to be like 20 below zero or worse, your eyeballs can freeze.
What? What?
I was like, excuse me?
Oh, my God. I hope Brent is not on a meeting. Oh, I just yelled and screamed so loud because that is insane. I did not know that was a possibility.
She
filed
goes,
that under new things I have to worry about.
She goes, you know how, like, sometimes when you're cold or if it's real windy, you'll, like, water, your eyes will water?
Yes.
And then that can, that'll get on your eyelashes and then they'll freeze shut. And then if you try to just open your eyes when they're frozen shut, you'll rip the eyelids right off.
She didn't say it like that.
No, but she did say, like, it'll rip the skin.
You'll rip the eyelids right off.
And then your eyeballs will freeze and you'll die. Oh, and then she did say that.
Is there more?
She did say drinking or having soup or going in a sauna or a hot tub beforehand does help. However, tea and coffee don't do it because that'll make you pee. I don't know why that's bad, but that's what she said. No diuretics.
No diuretics. Okay, maybe they make you sweat more. You want to hold it in.
Depressing because she the reason why they asked her is she does research in the Arctic, and she said they used to camp out on the ice beds, and they haven't been able to do that since 2007 because we're all assholes destroying our planet.
There are no
ice beds.
So that
was a bummer that they can't hold the weight, and it's not like safe anymore to do that.
Yeah.
So
damn.
Some good news, some bad news.
Good news, bad news, really. But also a lot of bad news.
I mean, can you imagine if your eyeballs froze?
No, yes, because that's I have I been imagining it for the last 2.5 minutes or however long it's been since you introduced that lovely image into my mind.
It does make sense. I mean, they are wet and just hanging out there.
Oh my God, that would hurt so bad. You know what is like the worst thing? Descriptions that ER, like intake forms. Yeah. What the descriptions are on them. Yeah. So I always like, and I have, my brother's a firefighter and I have friends who are first responders. And so often, and I love hearing their stories because I'm, you know, like.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Crazy like that.
Yeah.
And sometimes my brain cannot help but imagine things in how they would write it or how I would think they would write it on that form. And anything that says the word trauma and I in one thing together is.
It's traumatizing.
Traumatizing to me.
Yeah, like, my friend. Is an eye doctor.
Eyeballs explode and shit.
My friend is an eye doctor, and she says that the number one injury source are those stretchy things that people put like on their garbage cans to keep the raccoons out. I forget what they're called. They're like elastic.
Bungee cords.
Yes, with the hooks on either end.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you take them off and then they fly up.
Yep. And then it flings in and then it's like a hook and then there's no soft edge. And then you know how I use those for so many things. I hate knowing how things can kill you.
It's good to know though.
No, it's not. Susie, we've been over this in the previous episode.
I think it's good to know. It's not good to like obsess and like worry about it.
Okay. Tell that. Just tell my brain to just let that one go for the rest. Okay. Susie's introduced a new way to maul yourself, but just don't think about it for the rest of the afternoon, Sarah.
Well, then maybe it'll encourage you to be more careful with them.
I'm so careful. I do think because I was a camp counselor, mm-hmm. I have a built-in or a heightened ability to anticipate or recognize the worst case scenario.
I'm sure. It's like being a parent. Because, yeah.
Yeah. And like imagine you've just have like 200 of these children running around.
Yeah, you become
and
like
now
a
they're
psychic.
Encouraging each other and there's no adult supervision really. I mean like 18-year-olds at barely.
I could not do it. I have and too so much anxiety.
Like, I have seen and like you think there's no way that a child will end up with his mattress on top of the cabin. That can happen. And then sure enough, middle of the night, the kid's on top of the cabin with his mat, yeah. And you're like, oh, okay, well, that's a new one.
Yeah. So yeah. Now we know you can freeze your eyeballs.
Yeah.
Good to know. Okay, let's wind it down, Sarah.
Oh, so funny. Mm. We learned about comfort foods in other countries.
Yes.
Comfort
that
foods
was fun.
Internationally. Yeah. And I'm really fascinated to know or excited to know and fascinated to know what all of y'all listening like as your comfort food. So
we
you learned, should definitely write in and tell us.
We learned a surprising amount about milk toast today.
Accidentally.
Yeah.
Oh. We learned Susie's house is haunted.
Yes, we did.
Adam sent me a message too.
What did he say?
I'll read it.
Okay. Also, you haven't said spooky once and it's making me sad.
I did. I said it twice.
Oh, okay.
I was like subtle.
Okay.
With my
okay.
spooky delivery.
Thank you.
Yes. He said that he spoke out loud and told her it was okay and that she was welcome.
And that's true.
He said, I felt good. I think she's lonely. All I saw was the last part of her to disappear, which was her hands and arms. Tell him that he should recognize her knitting.
Okay, yeah, good idea.
Because clearly she wants
it's
to
important.
Be seen for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay,
share
I'll
that.
Tell her. I will share it.
Yes.
And we learned that my mom's mechanic is very tolerant of her ethnocentrism.
Yes.
And that there's an embryo that is now a person.
Oh, yes.
Who's an old soul.
That's a good story.
It's very cool. And that's about it. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review, you guys. It means the world.
Come on now. The world. We love it.
Don't forget to subscribe. We love you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Did you know that everyone has an aura? Do you know what color your aura is? Maybe you have a fiery red personality or a quiet and calm blue or green. You could be an organized and methodical yellow or an explosive purple. Come join me, Mystic Michaela, on my podcast, Know Your Aura, to find out all about how your personality can be explained in colors.